The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Break, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm joined by Nick, Brian, Derek should be joining us here in a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and start the show. And this isn't necessarily what people want to hear or talk about right now. You know, we ended the season, but it's time to kind of get into that off-season mode. And I wanted to ask you guys, despite the end result and the loss that we just went through and experienced against the 49ers, how would you qualify this season when you go, you know, people doing their exit interviews and all that, if you sit down and have to look at the overall and feelings aside, how would you really qualify and review the season?
I think it's a good season. And I know that what's been talked about on the radio and people have the debate about it. And I don't understand how it would be viewed anything different. And if so, you know, this is why we get asked the questions early in the year. What's your record for the season? What do you think it's going to be? I didn't hear any 12-5s and playoff, you know, go to the division round. I didn't hear that. I heard 9-8 and 10-7 and maybe wild card or sneak in. But so I think expectations were way exceeded. And I think, you know, I saw things this year I hadn't seen ever in the time I was here. So I don't live my life that way thinking that it's got to be Super Bowl or bust, because I would have been gone
a long time ago. Yeah.
So I don't view that way. And if people, that's, you know, I don't know. So how was your weekend? It was good. Did you win the lottery? Well, no. Well, then how's it good? I mean, like, I don't live like that. I think you can have good.
You've said it before, something that I guess I've never actually given thought is these people, whoever comes in that's new head coach, mm-hmm. players, they have to deal with that type of burden that is not their fault. Mm-hmm. They come in here and have to deal with the years and years and years
right.
where the Cowboys franchise hasn't gone back to a Super Bowl and deal with that. So that's something that people don't realize, and I get it. People are fed up, but it's what it is, Brian.
Yeah, you went 4 out of 5 games with a backup quarterback. When your season in week one just looked like, you know, we make jokes about talking about the draft show, it was the doom and gloom that was in this building after week one. The fan base around the world was like, what are we going to do now? You know, we've got 16 more weeks of this. Are you kidding me? You know, and that's the thing you look at and you say, man, you won 4 out of 5 games with a backup quarterback. When none of us, I shouldn't say none of us, I didn't think Cooper Rush could do it.
No.
I didn't think it. I'll tell you what, Dan Quinn made this defense better. Last year, it was, you're thinking, man, what's Dan Quinn going to do? Smoke and mirrors. How's he going to do this? Led the league in turnovers last year. You know, did things, got in the playoffs. Yeah, you got beat by San Francisco. Kind of figured out ways along how to win games last year, you know. But your defense carries you the first half of this season. Then you get your quarterback back, and then you start to win some games. The offense kind of finds its way. Yeah, you had a couple bad losses along the way. The Green Bay loss. Green Bay, they're fighting to get in the playoffs. Jacksonville looks like a legitimate team, so that's not a bad loss to me right now. When you did the thing with Nick, when you're talking about win, loss, win, you know, when you play that game with the schedule, mm-hmm. Jacksonville was a W. Immediately said, Jacksonville's no good. It's mm-hmm. a W. So, you know, to me, I was super, super, super critical of Mike McCarthy, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, evaluate the coaching staff this year. I think the coaching staff did a really, really nice job this year, mm-hmm. considering all the things. Now, They might lose. Things are really heating up for Dan Quinn. They're really heating up for Dan mm-hmm. Quinn. So you're going to have to figure that out right now. But how as far as the season goes, somebody's telling me, hey, Brian, it's not sustainable. You can't lead the league in turnover. You're creating turnovers back to back. What do they do? Despite their quarterback having issues with interceptions, and not all his fault, but, he gets the blame for them. They were one of the top teams when it came to getting people to turn the ball over. Sacks, pressures, things like that, every other year, the record they have is going to win the division. There's a hot team right now playing in Philadelphia. There's a team, usually you win 12, 13 games, you're talking about having the first overall seed. It took 13 games for them to get that, right? So, I look at the season as, I look at it as super positive. Now you have to figure out, though, this is now over, and now you have to move on. You're probably going to have to replace some coaches. You're surely going to have to replace some personnel. And then it starts all over again. What are your expectations? How's the draft? I mean, they go out and they draft a kid. I'm sorry I'm talking so long, but I am. They go out and they draft a kid to play. They don't even give you his position, Tyler Smith. They don't even tell you what he is. He's a left side player. He's often. He plays guard. He plays tackle. I mean, what they got out of him this year, and some of these other players that they have, Bland, guys like that. When your primary corner goes down, your primary nickel goes down, for the things that they were able to do, they finally got Pollard going in this thing to the point where you're like, man, when Pollard went out of the game, it's like your whole offense went south. Mm-hmm. There was a time where Pollard, how many touches did he have in the game last year? 8. Mm-hmm. Against the 49ers? I think they figured out some things along the way. That's, as a former personnel man, if I was working in this building, that's the positivity that I would take. I don't like the fact that you get bounced in the division round. 19 points given up, you should score. You should beat that. You should beat a team, if you only give up 19 points. They didn't do that. Now it's my job to find some ways to go and beat a Philadelphia, go and beat a San Francisco. You beat Cincinnati, early in the year with a backup quarterback, by the way. So to me, I think that, it's not the thud. It's not that thud that you normally face when the season's over for me, because I see more positive things than I really, really do negative things.
Yeah, and we are all expecting some changes. Whatever that is, we're expecting changes to happen in the near future. And which is exciting in the thought that it's a change, at least. But to me, it's also a little frustrating because you look at what you had with Dan Quinn and the great thing that he's been able to do. With Kellen Moore, on the other hand, he's done some great things as well. He's kind of elevated the offense in certain ways. It just hasn't fully clicked. And you always feel like you're just one little step away from everything just working out perfectly. Now with a possible change like that, Nick, mm-hmm. I mean, and this is hard to say because you don't know who would be the next guy.
Yeah.
If that was to happen.
Well, he was asked the question today on radio listening about, who that guy would be.
Dan Quinn, wasn't it? Or for Kellen?
It was for
both.
It was for Dan Quinn.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
It was for Quinn. But yeah, for Kellen, I mean, it's tough.
How far do you feel they are from just finding the right guy? And that's a tough question.
Okay, yeah. You have to look at it, Lo. What's Mike McCarthy's track record of hiring people? This is what we know about Mike McCarthy. To me, Mike McCarthy, when he brought in his friends, it didn't work out. When he went outside of the friend bubble, he went and got Dan Quinn. To me, now it's about, is Mike McCarthy going to say, okay, I went with Kellen Moore. You guys, I didn't want to change things with Kellen Moore. I didn't want to I didn't want to call plays. But if I feel comfortable with Brian Schottenheimer, or I feel comfortable with Nathaniel Hackett, those kind of guys, that's going to be interesting to see if Jerry and Will and Steven and them say, okay, we're cool with you. The guy that could be the favorite if that move is made is got to be Schottenheimer, because he's been in the building. You know, Jerry and Steven and Will have actually seen him work or know about his work, his body of work. So if I'm Dan, I mean, I think there's a sense of urgency within the Cowboy organization right now to, if they're going to make this move, there's no waiting around for like Jason Garrett to be hanging out in his office for a week and like, oh, well, hey, just kind of everything, you know. The Cowboys, when they're put up against it, they'll go make a decision. But you got to put them up against it. And maybe Mike McCarthy, if he wants to make a switch on Kellen Moore, wants this where it's like, I got to go get this guy right now because of all these coaches that are being interviewed for jobs. You lose those assistants. And I don't think Mike McCarthy wants to lose a top assistant to another team by waiting around. So if they're going to do something with Kellen Moore, I have a feeling it's going to be more sooner than later, to be honest with you.
Well, let me change the question a little bit because I know it's a tough one to answer without knowing all the names and all that. But we know that Dak Prescott is going to be here this upcoming season. Yeah. He's going to be your guy.
Yep.
Is there a style of offensive coordinator that you think would fit better with the type of quarterback that you currently have?
Well, I think you got to get a coordinator that understands how to get Dak on the move. You got to understand how to. I don't know if it's necessarily RPOs as much, but it can be. I mean, it could be that. But it's got to be a guy that's had some experience. And again, I'm saying all this because maybe there is going to be a change. I don't know if there will be, but there needs to be, in my opinion, there needs to be a change because the quarterback won't change. It's not going to change because the way the contract is structured, it's just not going to happen. So just get that through your head. But you can change the what's in his ear, and maybe he does need to kind of just a refresh, a different start. I think it needs to be somebody that has experience with mobile quarterbacks that can get their guy on the move a little bit, and getting choked up talking about the offense coordinator. I just think it needs to be somebody that has some experience in a guy. Obviously, he can't just stand in the pocket because that's not Dak's strength. So get him moving around a little bit and understand somebody that he can relate to when it comes to the checks. What is he checking into? What is he checking out of? Things like that. But, I mean, I think Kellen has done a really good job, but it's almost like this is as far as it's gone.
Yeah.
And needs to be more than that.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's well said. But, you know, you get to a point about with Dak, Dak always plays with challenges. There's always challenges to Dak's game, you know, and maybe you need to get that guy that will challenge him in that way. You know, maybe I think the biggest problems that Dak has is how he sees what's going on once the ball's snapped. You know, there's been plenty of times. A lot of these interceptions, I believe, are due to, you know, like the 49ers came out after this game and we're talking about, you know, and Jimmy Ward was the one that said at the nickel corner for them. He says, Dak can't play against zone defenses. Can't play against zone. That's not my opinion. That's somebody that just competed against him. You know, Jimmy Ward, the ball bounced off him. Number one goes to, you know, Fred Warner. And you know, that's, you know, now you got an interception. But his assessment of playing against Dak Prescott, and right or wrong, is that he cannot play against zone defenses. So if that's what teams are going to do, if everybody's sitting down watching, they need to figure out whoever the next OC, if there's a next OC. Yeah. If there's a next OC. But to Nick's point, I agree with him. I think you've run your course with Kellen Moore here. You know, I think you've run your course. I think there needs to be a different voice in his ear. I think there, you know, and we get in trouble a lot of time because you guys live in this building. I used to live in this building. You have to go to the lunchroom, and all of a sudden these coaches and people hear about, well, hey, we're talking about this and talking about that. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job. But these people, that's their livelihood. And so everybody takes that a little bit more personal. But it's reality. It is reality. If you want to find ways to move on, you've got to elevate. You've got to go and maybe do something a little different that you're not comfortable with.
Yeah. And let's throw one more thing else about the Dak. When I said that about Dak, you know, he's not going anywhere, the contract. Mm-hmm. Let me make another thing clear on that, too. And listening to Jerry the other day after the game, Dak is the quarterback because that's who Jerry also believes is going to be the guy. It's not just like they're stuck with a contract. This is the contract that he's got. And, yes, you can't just make changes on it. But I don't think that they would want to anyways. I mean, I really truly believe that the Cowboys are fully supporting him. And I think Dak can get it done. I really do. I think that he needs help, and it's tough to do that. Look at the quarterbacks that are in it right now for the NFC. Look at the guys that are in there. It's Brock Purdy and it's Jalen Hurts. They're probably making a combined $2 million this year. I mean, that means there's a lot of money out there for other guys, defense, offense, a lot of weapons. The Cowboys did have that for about 3 years until Dak got the big deal. And you kind of wondered, man, did they waste an opportunity there having a really good quarterback at a really low number? But now he's got a big number. It's hard to find those pieces around him, but yet he needs them. He needs them. I think the Cowboys, though, they're not stuck in a contract with him. They totally believe Dak is the guy, but they're going to have to figure it out. And draft, free agency, you have to draft smart. You can't have, and I'm not trying to put blame on Jalen Tolbert at all or anything like that, because that was the only negative part of that draft class. But they got to hit on guys like that for cheap. They got to have young players in the first contract that are contributing and making money to offset some of the big numbers that you have.
Which is another reason why losing that Dan Quinn, it's going to be huge, a huge loss, because of his ability to make something out of a player that isn't necessarily valued high.
Mm-hmm.
For example, all these free agents, guys that come in, veteran guys at a lower price, that it's not like a big splash in the market.
Kurz
did a great job just developing those players, even Wilson. The rookies. I mean, talk about those guys that have shined through what Dan Quinn has been able to do.
Yeah, see, that's the beauty of having a guy like Dan Quinn that works shoulder to shoulder with Will McClay and Stephen Jones on personnel. Now, Dan has had, you know, he's had his, you know, he put a lot of trust into Kelvin Joseph. Kelvin Joseph looked just too big for him out there this year. It did. But what did Kelvin Joseph do on special teams? That's where you saw growth. You saw him made a huge play in that game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it is when you go out there and you talk about the Sam Williams, Izzy McQuamu, guys like
Lamb.
That. Yeah, right. All these guys. Yeah, they, you know, he's put his stamp on a lot of guys, and it's come up big for him. And I keep saying this, you know, it took an injury, but he had a plan for what to do with Micah Parsons last year. I did not see Micah Parsons rush the passer like that at Penn State. And I've asked a ton of scouts around the league, not just the Cowboys scouts, but their scouts are like, man, this is something that we didn't see. So if you do lose a guy like Dan Quinn, you do lose the vision for the player. You lose the evaluation of the player.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing about it, is trying to find somebody that could step in and do the job as well as he did.
And I told this story, I think, on the air one time, but back at the end of training camp, trying to cut down the roster and all that, I asked a few people, like, are we sure that Donovan Wilson is safe? I mean, he hasn't done a whole lot. I mean, he got a lot of other safeties. I mean, does he have to make the team? And someone told me that Dan Quinn had said the one player he's the most excited about this year was Donovan Wilson and how the different things he can do with him. What does he do? He leads the team in tackles.
Yeah.
He's got sacks. He's got fumbles.
He's not afraid
pressures.
To
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he was an aggressive.
He's one
player.
Of the reasons why your run defense got better as the year. I mean, him, Van Der Esch, Kurz, you know, Hankins, they got better. They had problems. They had problems early in the year, and they didn't just put their head in the sand. They tried a bunch of guys at corner. They tried a bunch of guys at slot. They went and got a big-time a guy that made a small trade to get a big-time body inside. Nah, I mean, that's, you know, you got to give these coaches a lot of credit, along with the personnel staff, for what they were able to do.
Yeah. He's going to be a free agent too, Donovan Wilson, and and I just wonder if Dan Quinn does take another job.
Yeah.
Man, you know that's going to be one of his first guys that he's trying to take, because he, like I said, he had a vision for him and he knows what to do with. He's just a unique player. But, you know, the Cowboys can do something about that too. You know, I'm not saying you franchise tag him, but, you know, they can do something.
They're
going to
lose some guys they probably don't want to lose this year.
They got 20-something free agents.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, if you guys want to send us some questions, some comments, some how you feeling today, tweet us at Cowboys Break.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the Break.
If you're over here in Frisco, maybe checking out a tour of the Dallas Cowboys Star World headquarters, you can also check out the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, exciting events. Visit thestardistrict.com for more information.
Welcome back to the second segment of The Break, presented by blockchain.com.
Got it.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. I was going to ask you guys. This is all thinking, you know, hypotheticals. We don't know if any of these coaches are leaving or anything like that just yet. But if Dan Quinn does end up leaving, what's something that you feel he might be able to leave behind that can stay here with the Cowboys?
Coaches?
Because he's no. I'm saying just whatever in general, because we know if he
philosophy.
Does become, yes.
Like the stamp he put on this
yeah.
team.
Yes. Like
well, identity.
He said it. I mean, he turned Micah Parsons into a two-way rusher and linebacker. That's a huge thing that he put on this team. But, you know, it's a tough question because when you get a new person, and again, this is all hypothetical, but welcome to the offseason because that's what, you know, the words might and could and should and maybe perhaps all come into play here. So, a new coordinator is going to also have, you know, his role on it as well, and he's going to say, "Well, I like to do things a little bit different," and that's okay too, because as great as Dan Quinn was and is as a and you'd hate to miss him, you know, this defense they had some problems. I mean, there were some times like the Eagles game and this game here where they needed to get the ball back and get off the field. And an 8-minute drive kept them on the field. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical of a team that gave up 19 points to the 49ers, but, you know, they had their moments too. They didn't get the turnover that on defense that the 49ers did. So there's room for improvement, but, man, they're going to be completely missed if they do.
Well,
if he doesn't.
When you look at everything we had before that,
oh,
I mean,
yeah,
this
huge
is like
upgrade. It's I'm not I'm not being critical, but it's you know, Dan Quinn would sit in that chair or right there, and he would say, "Hey, we needed to do better. We had to get off the field and make stops." So there's room for improvement with the defense.
What area of the defense do you think was the strength of this team? What position group?
I would probably say your defensive ends.
You had two defensive line, defensive ends. Like
that's
that.
What I was thinking, but then we know it took kind of like a dip
yeah.
as the season went on. You know, they started really, really good, and mm-hmm. then eventually opposing teams started kind of figuring them out.
Okay, this is what you need to worry about. Like, if Dan Quinn were to go, who would he take off staff?
Right.
If you really feel like, you know, with AD as the defensive line coach, I always jack his name.
Aiden Durdy.
Yeah. So if you felt like that was the strength of your team, or of your defense, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Dan leaves and he takes AD with him, you know, now you've weakened not only your coordinator, but mm-hmm. you've weakened a position that you felt like got better as the year went on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now it comes down to, well, how do you feel about Joe Witt? You know, how do you feel about George Edwards, who has been, you know, those guys mm-hmm. have been coordinators before.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about that? You know, or do you go out and get somebody else? Do you go out and get Vic Fangio from, you know, he used to be at Denver, who was a head coach and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you go out and you get a Brian Flores, who used to be with, you know, when he's with New England and then the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, do you go? Because the one thing I would do, me personally, I think that it proved by going and getting Dan Quinn, it proved that going outside your comfort bubble of who you know, because his first staff here were guys that he knew. Mm-hmm. It was guys he'd worked with. It was, you know, Joe Philbin, offensive line coach. It's Scott Tolzien, who he had before, you know, he was a coach, a player, and all that. It was Mike Nolan, who Mike gave him a job. It was Jim Tom Sula, who mm-hmm. kept him around in San Francisco.
Yep.
Sometimes hiring your friends is a terrible idea. And if Mike McCarthy learned anything, open that net up, cast that net big. You know, cast the net big and go and talk to these guys that I just mentioned. Whether it was that guy in Denver, that guy with, you know, I think he's in Pittsburgh now with Flores.
Yeah.
You know, go out and talk to these guys. There's going to be some coaches that are getting let off staffs right now
mm-hmm.
that might be worth your while. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm really comfortable with George Edwards. Yeah, continuity and stuff's good. It really is. But they proved continuity with the offensive line. You could play with it. You don't have to have it. You know, to me, when you start hiring like-minded people all the time, your team doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't go anywhere. Hire people that might be smarter than you, you know?
That is a really interesting dilemma, because you are right when it comes to that. Even the defense, everything needs a little bit of a jolt. And that's the balance, I think, that's so tough for owners, GMs, head coaches, in any level, is do you want to shake it up and try to take that next level, or are you want to stick with the continuity and the building process and go, hey, we're right there. Do we really want to tinker with it? We're right there. I tend to agree with you that maybe a different voice is needed, especially on offense for Dak. But for defense, that's a tricky one too. I could definitely love to be a fly on the wall in that room that says, hey, we're right there, guys. George Edwards or whoever has been here, let's let them be the DC. See, he knows Micah. He knows what he can do. He knows how, you know, he knows these guys. But I could also understand this. What is this getting you?
Yeah.
Getting you to this playoff.
It got you the wild card. It got you the divisional. It got you the turnovers. It got you the sacks.
Yeah.
Sometimes players need something different.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes players all of a sudden come in and they're like going, huh. No, Dan Quinn was a lot different than Mike Nolan. Yeah. A lot different.
That's what they needed.
And it's what they needed, you know. Mm-hmm. As long as Will – I have full faith. I think we all do. Mm-hmm. Have full faith that Will McClay is going to understand what kind of players. Because he's always going to ask the coaches. He's always going to – now, he will say, well, listen, you really want that guy or we got this guy? So that's where it's going to come to. That's where Dan and Will worked out the best, because they were shoulder to shoulder on a lot of these players. But you look at what the defense approved. The defense got better with a different voice. With Kellen, it's good, but is it Dan Quinn level? How we've seen, you know, I think everybody that follows his team would say they have a hell of a lot more confidence in this defense than they do the offense. Yeah. You know, and it might be that might be the changes that you have to make.
And like I mentioned yesterday, Dak, he hasn't heard a different type of voice really in his career just yet. So we don't truly know. And just like Dan Quinn, he was able to get some players be better than what they've been. Players that you think, oh, he's not gonna, and he did. He did something. He was able to make them better. So it could very well happen on the other side. Let's go ahead and take an early break. When we come back, we already have a bunch of questions coming in from fans. So we'll try to answer as many as possible after the break.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
The ultimate fan experience for the ultimate Cowboys fan is by joining Dallas Cowboys United, presented by Globe Life. Starts at just $20. You can get your fan pack, exclusive benefits, and more. Visit DallasCowboys.com/United for more details.
All right, welcome back. This is the third segment, and thank you to everyone sending in questions. We're going to try to kind of knock them out real quick. First question. We know Jerry was able to do this last year. But do you guys think Jerry Jones could sweeten the pot for Dan Quinn and somehow manage to keep him once again?
I think he's already being paid like a head coach. He already is. That's something I have that reported on reliable knowledge there for me. And the connections that I have. With Dan, I think there's – I say this a bunch. Nick will know what I'm talking about. There's only 32 of these.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Quinn is a hot commodity. He interviews very well. He comes off as a guy that has a plan, has answers. All you have to do is watch his tape from the last 2 years. Pull up any interview he's done, any press conference that he's done on DallasCowboys.com, and watch how he interacts with the media, how he handles himself, how the players talk about him. You know, this you got really fortunate last year that the Denver Broncos made a huge mistake. He was going to be their guy.
Yeah,
he was going to, and it's just there's too many things happening right now. There's people that believe that the job that he's probably best suited for is the Colts job. That's the one where he'll have probably the least amount of interference. Denver could have some interference. Arizona could have some interference there. But he is the number one or two candidate at all three of those spots. Yeah. There's no way of sweetening it. Jerry did a great job. The inevitably what happens is you're going to lose good people. You are. Unless, you know, now he could say, okay, Mike McCarthy, you're not coaching anymore, and Dan, you're the head coach. So, you know, but that's not going to happen.
All right. This person, Larry, says, I don't think a new offense coordinator, offensive coordinator, is the answer. Besides that option, what can be done to coach Dak to see the field better?
I disagree. I mean, I do think he's got to have a different coordinator, a different system. I mean, like we said earlier, Brian said about you know, if zone defense is kind of the crux right now, I mean, he's going to have to.
That was a player. That was a player on opposing teams. Right. And I know people are reaching out at Twitter at me like, well, he tore Philadelphia up and all that. I'm like, okay, it's me saying the player that he competed against this weekend. That was his observation of playing against Dak.
And he's not the only one that says that. I mean, and that's been a criticism of Dak, processing, reading. Look at some of the look at a lot of the interceptions. A lot of them have been like down the middle of the field where he's trying to, him and, you know, CD have got to get on the same page and things like that. If you know, the question is, does it need a new offensive coordinator? That's fine. That's an opinion. And maybe that won't happen. I kind of think it does. But
I think essentially we all agree that he just needs a different voice, whether that's somebody else that you bring. Because I've seen people kind of on here bringing up the example, as we mentioned yesterday.
But I think it's a different offense, though. I do think it's a different offense. He's got to understand the concepts of it. And maybe it's just not hitting the same right now. I think that the different receivers, not a whole lot of different receivers, but I think just the concept of what they're doing.
Speaking of different receiver, next question. Okay. Should the Cowboys make a move on OBJ this offseason?
We're doing that again.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what? You did cover a lot of ground with him last year. You did cover a lot, well, this year at the end of it. If he's healthy enough and you feel like that he could be a difference maker and he could, you know, I really felt like that the times that T.Y. Hilton got to play, I thought he was a difference maker.
Yeah.
Could Odell be even a bigger one? Absolutely. So I would revisit that. I would revisit only, but once you find out what that money is going to be, it might turn you away from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've already said, like, we got the draft show kicking off tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday this week. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good wide receivers. You're picking down there, what, 26, 27, somewhere right around there. You know, I think that thing could stretch for you for some receivers. You know, it looks pretty deep already. I know some people will probably disagree with that. I think it looks like a pretty good group. So, I don't know with Odell. I think the money's probably going to keep you from doing that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've said this before. I believe that you've got to steal some playmakers. You've got to get some cheap playmakers, and I don't think that's one of them. You're looking at your third receiver that's going to cost a lot, probably like what a second receiver would make. I don't think so. I don't know if they're everyone in the building over here believes that you know he's going to do everything he needs to do to be healthy and rehab his knee and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think so. Receiver or running back in the first round. Oh, am I segueing again?
Let's go.
Well, can I say something real quick though? If there is a new coordinator, the first thing, if I'm Mike McCarthy or Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, or Will McClay, that I ask is, tell me how you're going to get Michael Gallup going. I'm not worried so much about CD Lamb.
Yeah.
Tell me how you're going to get Michael Gallup going. That would be one of the first questions I would ask.
I like it.
Huge miss this year, I think. And he honestly, he did
might be
better,
there,
quote unquote, coming back from that injury, like to start off the year. I didn't expect him to be ready that soon, even though he wasn't an impactful player throughout the season.
He's like a moody player, not personality wise, but like you don't know what you're getting with him. When he has a big game, you're like, okay, Gallup, he's back, he's ready. And then he does nothing. And then when you write him off, you're like, this guy's just running around.
Tampa game.
Then he has a great game. Yeah. So he's hard to figure out. Maybe with coming back from the injury, you know, and they knew the first year would be tough, but I don't know. You needed more from your number two guy.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and you know, I think early on confidence was a factor there. I just think there's also some things that it seemed like that every ball that was thrown to him was probably one he was making a contested catch or trying to get. It just never seemed like it was. The Tampa game was the one game where it was kind of like, all right, they got him going. Here we go. Every other pass. And I saw a stat the other day that he had more games with 0 yards than he had with 50 yards in a game. You know, so that just tells you right there the struggles that you were kind of dealing with him. And hopefully you can get him going if there is a new coordinator, or they need to go back with the current one and kind of figure those things out.
I would like to see a wide receiver added to this team that could at least compete for a bench press, you know, competition. I mean, just a little bit more strength. we got some guys that are lean and you know, quick and fast and all that stuff. But I'm not saying you got to go get DK Metcalf or the A.J. Browns of the world.
They're nice, though.
But they'd be nice to have. Yeah. You know, I mean, that type of receiver, I think I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind a guy like that. You know, last year, like Treylon Burks was a player like that. He's not, you know, he's not like tough man competition. But, I mean, he's a bigger, stronger guy.
Do a lot of
guy.
Things with him. And very Deebo Samuel-like in a way. Yeah.
And that receiver will be there later in the first round because he won't run a 4.3.
Right.
He'll just run a 4.5. Yeah. But he benched 22 times, mm-hmm. and he's
tough.
Yeah. A Dez type of guy, mm-hmm. you know, that yeah. type of guy, you know.
Amari was a little bulky.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to get into that again. But
he didn't play. Honestly, he didn't play that way.
Not the same type.
He was a very good route runner, but yes. he didn't play that
I was
way.
Just talking physically.
Yeah,
He's a little bit of the bulkier type.
Yeah.
But, okay, final question before we end the show.
Running back question. Huh?
Running back question. If the Cowboys don't trust Zeke to run the ball in the second half of that game, does that tell you anything about if he should be here next year on the same contract? And this is something that has come up here in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Some reports coming out saying that he would possibly be open to taking a pay cut to stay here in Dallas. And he's mentioned it to the media that he would like to stay in Dallas. So if that's the case, if he does accept and there is a change in the contract and a pay cut, would you be willing to keep a guy like Zeke here in Dallas?
I think
I'm moving on.
I don't know.
I think I'm moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was very emotional about after the game because he kind of knew what was happening. These players understand. I look at the draft. I look at the possibilities. We'll see what happens with Pollard. You know, we'll see what happens with Zeke. But I think now it's just time. It's that you need just to roll it. You know, you mean if you're going to allocate money to Zeke, is that dollars well spent, even reduced dollars? I mean, that could mean somebody else. Maybe it's two players like they talk about. You know, going and Jerry likes to say, well, get rid of Randy Gregory, I get three guys.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're now in that mode where you move on from Zeke, you can get two more guys. And I think that's the mindset you need to have right now.
I love the fact that he's willing to do that, and he doesn't really want to start over. You know, he's not for everybody. He's got a nice, comfortable situation here. They know Zeke, they know who he is.
Yeah.
They, you know, he doesn't probably want to start over and do all that.
No.
But it's the role. I mean, think about it. Even if it's down to a $5 million. Well, think about it. You got to draft somebody.
Yeah.
And then you got Pollard. You got to figure out how to do that. And then where's his role? And none of them are going to play special teams.
Yeah.
So what are we paying for here if he's not going to be the one or even the two? You know, I don't know. I hate that his final play with the Cowboys could be at center when he gets blown up from the ball, you know, like that. But it also shows this guy was one of the best teammates
the
Cowboys could have had. And I do have a lot of respect for Zeke. And when you look at how the career started on and off the field,
yeah.
and it's changed. He's changed more. When you think about, well, he's a declining player, of course, most running backs are. But the difference between him running the football his first year and running the football this year is not as much of a change as him off the field and now. Mm-hmm. And him growing as he has matured way more than he's decreased as a player.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. We do have the draft show starting tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
What time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. That's going to be happening twice a week.
Right.
We got the crew.
Yeah, this week we're doing it Wednesday, Thursday, and then follow the draft show on Twitter. We'll always put that stuff out for you, too, or I'll tweet it out, things like that. But we appreciate everybody. We'll start the journey tomorrow.
So I think our show, and us is another, Derek's not here, but this is the last show.
So this is the last show this week. Next week, we go into a once-a-week type of season. We'll be here on Wednesday at 10 a.m., I believe. That's mm-hmm. our schedule for the break. And then you guys can check out the rest of the schedule for all the other podcasts on DallasCowboys.com. Is that time of the year? We got to start it all over again. Here we go.
We'll be an auctioneer before you know it.
Oh, my God. All right. Thank you so much for Nikki Min, Brian Broaddus. I'm Ember Garcia. This has been The Break on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!